shall see the salvation of God. So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes to rain righteousness on you.
Ever faithful, ever unchanging, always the same, and always will be. And Lord, we thank you that we can rest in the bosom of your heart this day as we come and as we learn from you. We thank you, Father, you have blessed us with the anointing, the Holy Spirit, who has come to teach and lead and guide us, and that you will do now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I have a title, and the title for our teaching today is Unbelief Brings Down God into the Image of Man. Unbelief brings down God into the image of man. And we know in the scriptures very well, we cite it many, many times in Hebrews 11 verse 6, which says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And to remind ourselves in that verse, some of the key principles there, he says that without faith, he uses the word impossible. In other words, it cannot be achieved, no matter how hard you try. And we're also told that when we come to God and we come believing, and that we come knowing that he is a rewarder, so our faith is to draw from him those blessings, and it is achieved and done with a diligent heart. In other words, you mean business. You are diligent. You are active. You take it seriously. You don't mess about. You don't hang about. You are diligent in seeking him. Why? Because you know that without faith, it's impossible otherwise. And he has been teaching us that, hasn't he, over the years. And we've had to make some big mistakes and see where we thought it was faith, it wasn't faith. And he over the years begins to show us that we weren't diligent. We weren't really seeking him as we should. There is always a reason why we don't receive and why there is unbelief. And he will in time always show us, so that it can be removed, so that God can be glorified in our faith and in our asking. We know that, and we teach that many, many times. But today, we're looking at areas of faith with regards to unbelief, because unbelief brings God down to the level of man, brings God down into the image of man. And that's why God hates unbelief, because what is behind that is always idolatry. And we know from Israel's history that Israel fell so often into idolatry, which really in the Old Testament simply means unbelief, not believing God, and therefore they turned to other gods that they would answer them instead. And those gods are very often in the image of man. They come from man's imagination. They come from a sinful nature. And the enemy will always provide for that. He always will come as an angel of light, as a false god. That is his nature. Satan, in many ways, is a false god, even though we are told that he is still the god of this world, but he is a false god. And so unbelief brings down God into the image of man, and God will not have that. He sorely chased Israel when she fell into idolatry. And that is why God keeps us on our toes. He constantly gives us teachings on faith, because he knows in his infinite wisdom we live in such an idolatrous generation that is falling rapidly away. And that is one of the reasons why he keeps us on our toes. And as we have read to you in Hebrews 11, verse 6, so that we diligently seek him. In other words, we are about our Father's business 24/7. It occupies our life, our mind, our thinking, our walk. And if it doesn't, God will chasten us until he gets us to that place and consecration. Make no bones about it. He loves us that much. You see, as I said at the beginning, unbelief is fundamentally idolatry, and it's trusting in earthly things. The same as Israel fell into idolatry and she turned to earthly things. In other words, it's turning to the arm of the flesh. It's turning to man for help instead of turning to God. That's what we're talking about today. And you say to me, well, I don't turn to man for things. I trust God. I walk in faith. Well, we can be tested in the area of finance, of money. Do we continue borrowing all the time? Because we are not in that place of faith to believe that God will provide. He will provide for those bills that come in. God doesn't want believers in debt. When you're in debt, the world, man, has power over you to manipulate you and control you. And that is what God is delivering us from. That is what God wanted to do with the children of Israel. But every time they fell into idolatry, they fell into the bondage of those idols. And behind every idol there is control. And who is controlling that? The enemy. That is why God wants us in these last days to walk totally by faith and not by sight. We have to trust God with our health. Confess the word of God over our bodies, that by his stripes we were healed at Calvary. I am the Lord that heals you. Yes, you may be going through a physical trial. You may not be feeling very well today. You may have had a battle over the week with flu or whatever it is, but you still confess what God's word says over us. That is the whole point. Because that is confessing God's will over your life, my life. And we need to be in good health. You cannot trust anymore in NHS and what's going on in these hospitals, believe me. So we need to trust God. We need to trust God with education, particularly with our children. Because our children are exposed to so much now at schools, to New Age, to rebellion. Government is controlling more and more, or trying to, over schools, educations, and what children must learn, and so on. Again, we have to be in faith. We have to learn prayers, intercessions. We have to learn warfare and these demons that try to work and control. We have to be against idolatry with regard to family. It is so easy to trust in family instead of to trust in God. And we know how the enemy can work through families. Jesus addressed this very thing where he said the sword of the Spirit comes down to divide. He knows the idolatry that's in family life, which you are getting delivered from. Friends. We have to be on our guard with friends. Our friends, as much as we love and respect them, they are idolatrous if they don't know the Lord Jesus. And they are bowing down to idols in their lives through unbelief and hardness of heart. And that can so easily rub off on us. All our social interactions and so on. We need to know each day that we're covered with the blood of the Lamb and that we're walking by faith and with that right relationship with him. These are very real experiences. And behind all of these things each day that we encounter, there are idols behind them trying to get us to bow down and worship them. They are the pressures that we as believers face each day. We may not always be conscious of it, but that is what is happening. And that will always be a hindrance to your faith, to that childlike, simple faith that God wants us to have. And that's why you see we have through the new birth the power and the ability to walk totally by faith. God would not say this to us. He would not give us all the revelation and teaching of faith over all these years if it could not be achieved and done. God never makes a mistake. And here we are, some of us over 40 years, walking with the deeper life, and here we are again, being brought back to faith, to believing. That has to be God. And he's trying to show us that he's empowered us. He's put his life in us. He has given us the ability to be able to walk by faith. The problem is we still want these idols sometimes, because they look easy. They look logical. They give me the answers that I'm wanting. We fall for the seduction that is behind each of them. And that is why we find our faith is hindered. But God provides. And that is why he asks us to keep our eyes always looking to the cross, looking to Calvary, because that is our provision, that is our victory. That is where God provides. That is our deliverance. This is why I say so often, and I will say it again, our teachings, our meetings, our coming online is in nature not only to teach us so that we hear faith, because we know that faith comes by hearing, but it's also to deliver us, to get these idols out of our lives, which God hates. And so, God has made no mistake. He has given us the ability to be able to walk this walk totally by faith. And that is why he leaves us in the world in order to do this. And we know this very well in John 17 and verse 2, the Gospel of John, chapter 17 and verse 2, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. So he gives us the ability, the power to receive eternal life. That's what he's done. And then in verses 14 to 18 of the same chapter, verses 14 to 18, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. In other words, you keep them from idols. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Have you ever said to yourself, I am not of this world? I am of another world. I am just passing through. This is not my life. This is not my home. I don't want it. We need to start confessing that, you know, and believing that, because that is what Jesus has done. He says again, verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the world. In other words, that the world will be taken out of their hearts, the love of it. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Thank God Jesus prayed that for you and I. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So the word of God sanctifies us, cleanses us, separates us from the world. And it's doing it right now, as we open our hearts and as we listen to God's word. So how does God get us to believe when we see and feel the opposite? When we're burdened, when we feel our emotions are oppressing us, overwhelming us, how does he get us to believe in his promises? when our minds, in imaginations, they think completely the opposite? How is he getting us, even now, today, this moment, to believe his word, when maybe you've gone through a terrific trial just recently? We walk by faith so that we don't form a mental or an emotional image of him. That is the nature why you walk by faith. God knows why this is so, because to walk by faith deals with all these emotions, unbelief, these images that we have of God, or we think we know of him, or whatever it is. Our walk of faith deals with idolatry. Now, don't try and work that out, how God does that, but that is how we get delivered from these idols, from these false images that we have of God. Walking by faith deals with this. And that is the problem, and that is why the children of Israel, they didn't want to walk by faith. They didn't want to pay the cost to walk by faith, so they brought God down into the image of man and believed those false idols, those false gods, which Satan will always provide. He knows the weakness of man, probably better than we know ourselves, and he knows the counterfeit to get you to worship and to follow. This is why God hates religion, because that is what religion does. Religion tries to make an image of God in man's mind and imagination. That is why you have all these images, paintings, trying to depict God or what he looks like or whatever it is. And in the West, we've got this image of Jesus with blonde hair and blue eyes. All of these things come out of man's evil minds and imaginations. And that is why God hates religion. For example, if you're not sure about what I'm saying here, let's all of us now imagine the colour green. Green is probably the most popular colour on planet Earth. It has a calm, soothing effect. But let's imagine the colour green. I can tell you, if you mixed in colour your idea of a green, all of us have different interpretations and experiences of that colour. I know, as a teacher of art, when I've put certain objects in front of students to draw, each one has a different interpretation. We all see differently. We all imagine differently. We all think differently. And that is why God doesn't use that in us where faith is concerned. Faith comes by hearing. It is a revelation. It is the word of God which we all hear. That is where our unity and oneness of the faith is. And the enemy knows how to use this and to create confusion, divisions, and so on. That's why there's that old saying, birds of a feather flock together. And you see it in life and in the world. And it's the same in religion. But God will not have that of us. He doesn't work or think in that way. And that is why faith cannot operate in the realm of confusion. Religion is confusion. It's confusion because man wants to worship God in his own thinking, in his own way, in his imagination. That is why the ecumenical embraces all religions, because we'll all get to God anyway. Oh, I wish it was like that. It made my life and preaching much, much, much easier. But it isn't. And God will not be brought down into the image of man's mind and thinking, an idea of who they think he is. He reveals himself who he is, the great I am, and you either take that by faith or you don't. That is how he appeared to Moses. He didn't appear in any other way. He didn't try to cater to Moses' idea of God. He says, I am who I am. And that is it. You will not see anymore, because you walk now by faith. That is how God works. Now, that might seem at times very hard and unloving, but he does that because he knows that what sin has done to man has made him in nature idolatrous. And that is why the Holy Spirit knows how to teach us, how to teach his word and so on. And I'm just going to remind you of scriptures in this. In John 14, verse 26. John 14 and verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So it's absolutely clear, and it's clear in the Gospels. You can read it also in Luke 12, 12. The Holy Spirit is the one who will teach us about God. Let us turn also to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that is how the Holy Spirit teaches us. He will only teach us if we are open and we receive his word by faith. That is the basis of his teaching. If you want faith, or you want to learn about God in any other way or form, then he is fundamentally saying you cannot be in this class. Join some other class. But you can't be in this class, because that is not how you're going to learn. We learn on the basis of hearing, believing, trusting him, that he never gets it wrong. Any other class of education you would go and sit in, you will always at times ask questions, or ask why, or I don't understand, or whatever it is. That's the nature of learning. But that's not how we learn with God. We don't have to ask why. Sometimes we do, yes, or I don't understand. And the Lord will teach us. He'll show us. The disciples at times didn't always understand. And he didn't reject them. But he took them to one side so that they could understand. And once they understood, they didn't need to ask anymore. That's why it is a rest by faith. And we trust God because he first loved us. And he will never deceive us. He always has the very, very, very best for us in everything. And you know, when we experience this, what does it do? It lifts us up above all this confusion and this unbelief. That's what it does. As we put our faith and trust in the Lord and what he gives to us and how he speaks to us, doesn't it always lift us up? Doesn't it always encourage us? I cannot tell you the times how a lot of you, and I thank you for this, how you just drop a message or give me an email, just say, oh, Pastor, that message today, what I needed to hear, or it's answered questions or whatever it is. Praise God, that's what this is about. It's lifting us up where we should be with Christ in heavenly places. If the Word of God doesn't lift us up and remind us where we're seated with Christ, then the Word has not done its work. And so many of our brothers and sisters who confess Christ as their Lord and Saviour, they don't always get that experience. But you do. I do. And don't ever take it for granted. Ephesians, let's turn to Ephesians. That tells us about all of this, what I'm talking about. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Here, as he opens up in this great epistle, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Where is it? In heavenly places. This is why you cannot find this on the earth. It comes from above. It's divinely given to us by the mercy and grace of God. Let's carry on. Verse 17 to 23 of the same chapter. 17 to 23, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So your faith, as you hear, gives you that wisdom, that revelation in who? The knowledge of him. So the Word of God always points to Jesus, to him. The living bread. The one who came to the earth, revealing himself. He said, "I am the Word made flesh." That's what it does. And how does he do it? Verse 18. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." So he spiritually opens our eyes and understanding. That is supernatural, brothers and sisters. That is not something you can attain to in your human strength, which religion tries to do. The new birth has given you the power, the ability for your eyes and understanding to be enlightened. In other words, opened. In order that you know the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory, the inheritance that we have, I have, with the saints. And what is exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. And that's what God is doing. If there's anything he's revealing now to the bride as she makes herself ready, he's revealing his power towards us. The very power that's preserving and keeping us and delivering us for that great day. In this wicked world that we live in. Why? According to the working of his mighty power. It's his mighty power working on your behalf. preserving, keeping you. And listen to this, verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Isn't it wonderful that what was working in Christ is working right now in you and me? The very same Spirit that raised him up is raising you up. That's why you're in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And it says, verse 21, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age also, but which is to come. And that's why your prayers, your praying in the Spirit is so powerful, because he's raised you up with him above dominion powers. What are those dominion powers and everything? A lot of that is the god of this world, Satan. That's how he works. And he says he's given us power, raised us above that. And that is why we can take authority and bind these powers in the mighty name of Jesus. And not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things as to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. There we are. What profound words the apostle is giving here to this church. And he's giving to us today. Still the same today, where that was written almost 2,000 years ago. Chapter 2, verses 4 to 8. Chapter 2 and verses 4 to 8 of Ephesians. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So your authority, your faith, your belief, your warfare, your prayers are not in this world. They are above, with Christ seated in heavenly places. That's why we look up, because our redemption draws near, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace to in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. And that's the reason. Here you are. It says it all. There's nothing more I can add to that. It's all there. And this is why God will not allow our unbelief to bring him down to the image of man, man's weakness, man's confusion and unbelief. He will not have it. And he will sorely chase us if we try to do it. That is why the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And God will work with you and me, if you want it, to come to that place to totally walk by faith. And the power of God will be so powerful over what you see, over what you feel, over what you hear, or what you say, or taste, or whatever it is. That is what the power of God will do. The very power that raised him from the dead, the very power that's working in you, will be all sufficient over your emotions, your feelings, your imaginations, those things of the flesh. It has to be, if this faith is going to work. You cannot have your faith working in emotions and feelings. I've been saying this one for years, because it will fail. And God is teaching us how faith operates, how we hear faith, and he provides for that faith, because we've already read it there, it is a gift from him. So when the enemy comes with those lies, those fears, or whatever it is, that power to believe is above all of that. And that is the rest that we have. Now, I believe that. And I don't know about you, but I'm desperate for more of that in my life. Because that is how Jesus walked. That is how the early church walked. And it's how we're going to walk in these last days. But in order for that to be achieved, idolatry has to be removed from our lives. You see, man wants to exclude God in his knowledge. That's the rebellion that we're seeing today. The outright rebellion, the spirit of this age wants to exclude God in everything he says and everything he does. In other words, everything that we learn in the world, evolution, devolution, has to exclude God. To believe in God is medieval. It's outdated. That's what they tell you. You see, that is why, brothers and sisters, with all that's going on in the world, with all the technology, with man boasting how clever, how powerful he is, this is why God is reducing us right down to the point where we know nothing unless it is revealed. Because whatever comes out of your mouth, man will always have an answer for it. But when Jesus trusted totally his Father, when he spoke, it threw the scribes, the Pharisees, they were the intelligentsia of that day. It threw them into doubt, confusion. They couldn't answer him. And when you trust God, they will not be able to answer you. Because God will give you the words. He will give you the revelation. We know nothing unless he reveals. That's why this technology and this AI, artificial intelligence, which we've talked about in the past, is man's blindness. It's a deliberate rebellion against God. You see, man wants to know and act like a God and be in control of his destiny. That's what he wants. He wants to be a God and he wants to be in control of his destiny. And he wants to know. He wants to know everything in advance. There's just one big problem that hinders all of that. And that problem is he dies. He has to come eventually to the end of his life. All the pharaohs of Egypt battled that one. And that's why they entombed them, to try and keep them alive, their name, their spirit alive. Man has always had a problem with death. And he cannot acknowledge that the reason man dies is because of sin. And medical science is desperately ploughing money in to try and get man to live longer. And it will never be done. You see, God is so great and mighty that what we do know is only in part. What we're learning in this life about him is just a fraction. We know that because 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 9 tells us. But it's enough for us to have faith. It's enough for us to make it into the kingdom of God. But it's just a fraction of knowledge. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 9. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. There you are. So what we don't even know in this life, we will know. We're going to have eternity to learn. Every second, every moment of our life in eternity will all the while be learning more and more and more and more about Almighty God. It will never, ever come to an end. That is why the scriptures say there's no beginning and no end. And in this life, we have to just put amen to it. That's our limitation. But in eternity, we will never stop learning and experiencing more of the majesty, the greatness and power of Almighty God. There is no end to him. That is why he's uncreated, eternal spirit, always has been and always will be. There's no beginning and no end to him. That is what you're destined for. And that is why God has made it possible to know and learn about him through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said to them, when you see me, you see the Father. And that is why we have to walk by faith. If you like, our faith is the object of Jesus Christ. The goal of my faith, the growth of my faith, the ability of my faith, my walking by faith, the object to it is not idols, self, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Always keep your faith, the object, Jesus himself, because he gave it to you to believe. And that is why faith, as I bring it to a close, is constantly being revealed. This is why we have faith teachings. Month after month, the reason being is because faith is constantly being revealed. It doesn't come to an end. This is why it's the deeper life teaching. That entering through into a walk of the Spirit. Finally, our scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Here he's speaking about the new covenant, but he's speaking here about the ministry of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in other words, teaching us this new covenant in Christ Jesus is going to be infinitely more glorious than even the old covenant, the Old Testament. That is why everything is new, is better in Christ Jesus. And that is what we hold on to. And that is why unbelief brings down God into the image of man. And God will never, ever have this. That is why you're seeing in this last generation, in this rebellion, you're seeing this God-like image of man rising up in all his audacity, blindness, thinking that he is God. He has his own destiny, his future under control. How blind. That is why there is such an ignorance in this last generation of the knowledge and understanding of God and the Word of God. They don't know it. They're not interested in it. Their minds and hearts are becoming seared, reprobate. This is why we are seeing insanity on the level that has never been seen before in human nature. It is alarming because man believes he can become his own God, and he, as a result, is destroying himself. And where does the destruction start first? In the mind. And who controls the mind? The enemy, the God of this world that has blinded the minds and hearts of most. The enemy isn't worried about what he does to man. The reason we're seeing all this increase, and we will continue to see it, is because the enemy is now being cornered. He now knows his kingdom is dividing, it is falling. And like any trapped animal, it will fight, it will kick out with its last breath. That's what spiritually we're entering into. But the good news is, you have been risen above all of that. You are not a part of it. You are above it. And you have the answers. You have been shown through Jesus Christ. We are mightily blessed what we are seeing and what we are experiencing. But do not deceive yourself. God is expecting hundredfold from us. He is not going to give all of this to us if he doesn't get his reward. And the only reward we can give him is our lives, our hearts, our obedience, our faith. That is what he loves. And we're not going to let him down. Heavenly Father, forgive us that we at times try to bring you down to our image, our thinking, our unbelief, our rebellion, our fears, those things, Lord, that we can still fall victim to. But Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you that we can come and confess and get all of this under the blood of the Lamb, to get these idols of unbelief out of our life, our heart. Lord, in your mercy, continue to work with us, that we experience 24/7, that we are seated, we're with you in heavenly places, high above power, principality, dominion. That is where we are, with you. Father, I thank you for the deliverance in this teaching today. I thank you that the Holy Spirit has taught us and revealed more of you to us. And we are truly thankful for this, Lord. Father, we savour every jot and tittle of these teachings because we know that faith comes by hearing. Oh Lord Jesus, it is our heart's desire to trust to obey, to keep our eyes always upon you. We know at times we can be so vulnerable out in that world. It is so convincing. It is such a lie. And at times we fall for it. But you said that you deliver us from the evil one. And you are always ahead, that one step ahead of us. And Lord, we thank you for this. Father, I pray you will ever bless, preserve and keep all of us. Keep us whole in mind, body and spirit. Our confession is that you renew our youth like the eagles. And by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we were healed and raised up for your glory. And may the saints always experience and know the enemy is under their feet. And all power, might and dominion has been given to that holy name, the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for our sister Mary Louise, who again today has joined us in our fellowship. We thank you, Lord, you are raising her up as well also. And we are truly grateful for that. And so, Lord, be with us through this week. Bless, preserve and keep us. Until we assemble again, for this we ask now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
For from him, and through him, and to him,
through him.